scripture to begin with. Found in Isaiah chapter 45. Then have your Bibles handy, because I will be reading some other scriptures as we go along. Isaiah chapter 45, I'd like to read verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none other, none else. Let me read that again. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. A couple of Sundays ago, I mentioned how the Israelites had murmured in the wilderness while they were crossing the wilderness, had they murmured against God and against Moses, and because of their complaining and murmuring, God sent fiery serpents, snakes, amongst them, and when they were bitten, there would be a burning sensation that they would die. And the Bible says many of them died. And the people were afraid that they would all be consumed, and they went to Moses and said, Moses, would you pray for us? And I want you to understand, this is something strange. They had complained against God, and murmured against God and against Moses, and now they go to Moses and ask him to pray to that same God to hear an answer. And Moses prayed. And the Bible says, when began to pray, that God answered and said, make me a serpent, a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. Moses, go make a brass serpent and put it on a pole high and lift it up, and when any of the people out there that are bitten and they are burning with this burning terrible pain and facing death, if they will look to the serpent on the pole, they will live and not die. And remember, the healing did not come from the serpent. The healing came because of obeying God, believing what God had said. Then last Sunday, I again mentioned the brass serpent on the pole, and I used it as a shadow or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses said, put a serpent on the pole and lift it up. And I've read the Bible through, and I found that Jesus was placed on a tree. And he was lifted up, and he was crucified. He died for the sins of the world. And the only remedy that the Jews had in the wilderness when they were bitten was to look to the serpent on the pole. And the only remedy that we have for salvation is looking to Jesus. It's a look of faith, looking unto Jesus. Again, in that 22nd verse, in today's scripture reading, God's calling out to all mankind everywhere. He said, look unto me, all, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There is no other God beside the God that we were preaching and teaching about in Sunday school this morning. He's the only one. That's the key, looking to God. That's the answer. For the Israelites, the only remedy they had was that brass serpent on the pole. And the only remedy that we have as sinners is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. As a young boy, growing up in church, I was raised in a holiness home and attended church as we were growing up all every service. My folks believed in going to church. And it rubbed off on me. I believe in going to church. I believe it's the best place to go with service time. And we would sing a song, Look and Live. Look to Jesus. Now, maybe some of you remember it. Look and live. And some of the words said, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in God's Word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I'm glad for the day that I look and live. I'm glad for the day that He gave me new life. I was lost and undone. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but I looked at Jesus, and He saved me and gave me a new life. Then there's a story in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, I'm going to read some scriptures there in a moment, but there's a story. We mentioned it in times past, and maybe you've read it and remember it, but I'd like to bring it to our attention again this morning. The time came when Judah had some enemies. The nation of Judah, the people of God, God's chosen people. So let me stop right there this morning. You can be one of God's chosen people, and the devil will be out to destroy you. There'll be enemies that come against you and try to pull you down. And Judah was in a difficult time, and their enemies, the Moabites and the Ammonites, had come to do battle. And when the king looked out and saw and heard what was coming in the great armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites, and even from Petra, from Mount Seir, was coming against them, the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat called for the people to pray. And I say this today as humbly as I know how. I don't know of anything more powerful than prayer. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes situations. Prayer. He called the people, the fathers, the mothers, the children, and the Bible says even the babies. They gathered together for a prayer time. And I'm going to read part of the king's prayer found in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, beginning with the 15th verse. He said, "Hearken ye all Judah." No, that's not what I want. I want to go back. I want you to see from the 12th verse of the king. He said, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them?" Talking about the enemy, the Moabites, the Ammonites. "Wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." Let me say that again. The Bible says that the king called for a prayer meeting. When I was reading that, all the people gathered together and the king led in prayer. And that struck me. I thought, God, here's a leader that not only called the people to prayer, but he led the people in prayer. Would to God that we all would have leaders across America, in the federal government, in the state government, in the local government, had people that knew God, knew how to pray, and they led in prayer. Some things bother me. One thing is what's going on in Washington, not just now, at election time. They have a day of prayer. People get together and pray. And afterwards, many of them go out and go right back into sin, living an ungodly life. Thank God for somebody that led a nation that knew how to pray. He said, "God, we're your children. We know that you love us. We know that you're concerned. The enemy is coming against us. They have a great army. We realize that we are no... We can't handle it by ourselves. God, we need help." And then he said these words, "Our eyes on you. Our eyes are on you, Lord. We're looking to you. We need you, Lord. We're looking for you to come by and to take our place and help us. Take up all us against the armies that's coming against us. God," let me read it one more time because it stands out. "Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we've no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We're looking to you, God." Then the king included several important things in his prayer. He said, "We're your people. We know that you love us. We have no might against this. We are weak when it's compared to this great army. We don't know what to do. But we know that you have all power, like we said in..."
yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah at Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I will not turn my tongue out for everyone to understand. This is something that did not come out of the mind of Jehovah. This is not something that he called up. God began to speak to him, to the people. These are not the words of this man, Jehiel. These are the words of God. Don't be afraid. I see what's out there. I know your limitations, but you stand still and see the salvation. I'm going to fight your battles, and you're going to see the hand of God manifested in this brother. When God speaks, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. With the people, this is the King God of Aaron. He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set up ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, others just slay and destroy them, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watch, toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance of both riches, with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Let me stop there for a moment. When the Holy Ghost began to move upon that man in the congregation, and God began to speak to him and said, then after I want you to understand, I've heard the prayer of your king. I've heard the prayers of the people. I've come down to answer and to give this day. And you will not have to fight in the battle. I want you to just stand still and watch the hand of God move. I want you to see that I'm almighty and I'm
Listen closely. A choir might not seem important, but God said, let them lead the way. And it's not who was in the choir. It's not how good they were singing, but it's what they were singing. Praises unto God. Holiness unto the Lord. There's a lot of singing that goes on today that is not pleasing to God. There's a lot of it I don't understand. People can sing 5 minutes and I don't know what they've said. And I've even heard them sing 5 minutes and say the same words over and over and over again. You don't have to be much of a songwriter to write 3 words and sing it for 5 minutes. But I want you to understand today, this is God's way. It will seem foolish to us. But God said, I'm going to fight your battles. You've called on me. The king has said, we're looking to you, Lord. We're expecting you to help us. God said, I will, I will, I will. And then obey God and send the choir out. And when the battle is finished over yonder, the children of Judah had not had to fight one bit. But they had a great victory. Praise God. We might not find ourselves over yonder fighting a battle somewhere. But where you are, the devil will come against you. But if you wait on God and look to God and listen to God, He will take care of you. In fact, some of these, 40, these words in the 45th chapter are the same words He told me the night He called me to preach in the 41st chapter. And God will take care of us in the 45th chapter of Isaiah and the 41st chapter. God said, be not dismayed. I'm looking after you. I'll come down. I'll take care of you. I'll fight your battles. Let me leave this with today. He'll fight your battles. He's a good God. They won the victory because their eyes were on God. A couple of Sundays ago in Sunday school, we had a Sunday school lesson that was entitled, Embrace Right Living. It was from Hebrews chapters 12 and 13. Before I come to the point that I'd like to present along this line, I'd like to mention the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We had it the week before. And if you're familiar with the Bible at all, the 11th chapter of Hebrews has a list of names, beginning with Abel. It goes right on down through so many names. Enoch and Noah, and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. Joseph and Moses and David and Samuel. And then some places at the end of that did not name them by name, but some of what they did. And this is called the honor roll of faith. This is called a list of the names of people in the Old Testament. It's not a complete name. It's just examples for us. That they sought God. They obeyed God. They looked at God. Their eyes was on God, were on God. And God blessed them. And they were faithful. And they made it across the finish line with victory. They served God. They obeyed God. They loved God. And they made it with all they went through. They made it. God said, I'm leaving that for an example to you. If they made it, you can as well. I've been in the ministry long enough that people have told me, Brother Jones, you don't know what I'm going through. And I don't. But I know someone that does. My wife is suffering now, last night, possibly the worst night she's had, with this arthritis or whatever. Pain, 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 every step she takes. Everything she does, pain, we don't understand some things, but I know a God that's got it all in His hands. And He loves us. Don't ever think that He doesn't love you when you're going through a hard place. He loves you. He loves you. And as I was reading here about what God has done and what God will do, how that He loves us in the 11th and 12th and 13th chapters of Hebrews. They were faithful. That entire list of names, they were faithful to God. They went through a lot of things. Some of them have been in slavery. Some of them have been put to death. Did you know that Isaiah, tradition tells me, that Isaiah was put in a hollow log when he was alive. Put in a hollow log and they took a saw and sawed that log half in two with him there. I can't imagine the pain. Some were stoned to death. Some went through this or that. But they were faithful. And when it came down to the last mile of the way, their eyes were still on God. They still loved God. They did not throw up their hands. They did not give up. They kept on going. professor in the 11th chapter, and when he comes to the 12th chapter, he says, seeing therefore that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run that race with patience. That race that's out there, they made it, and so can we. They crossed the finish line, and so can we. Hallelujah. Whatever comes your way, they've been there, and they made it. And we can as well. Thank God, thank God. When you come to that 12th chapter, and he says, seeing therefore we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, look back to that 11th chapter. See all of those that already made it to heaven. How that they were faithful to the end. And they've already entered into that place called glory. They haven't received their glorified body yet, but whatever. They're already in the presence of God. No more trials, no more troubles, no more temptations. They made it across the finish line with victory, and so can you. Amen. And by the grace and help of God, I intend to keep on going until I cross the finish line. Amen. 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 Thank God. Then in that 12th chapter, I read, but it says in that first verse, wherefore seeing we also compass about, speaking of that great cloud that I've just mentioned, that great group of people that made it. When I look at that, and I look at myself, and I haven't gone through anything compared to what they went through, if they made it, I can make it. Then I come to the second verse. And this is so important. The writer gives the words of encouragement, and these are to you and me. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. We are conscious today of the many faithful men and women that have already crossed over. As I was preparing the sermon, I thought about church. I'm not going to name any names tonight, today, because when I have done that in the past, I realized that I left out some that I should not have. And I look from this first bench, and all the way around this church, people that serve God and love God, part of this church, part of the kingdom of God. And when they were called out of this world, they had a testimony that God had been faithful, and they made it. I've been preaching since 1959. No funeral service is easy, but no funeral service for somebody that lived a godly life is hard. Did you understand that? When you know someone's crossed the finish line with victory, there's something about it that's altogether different. And I looked, and I just mentioned on the front bench from Brother Claude, right over there with his banjo, and all the way around him over here, people that's been in this church, a part of this church that love God, serve God, and cross the finish line with victory. And when I think of them, I'm thinking, surely they made it, so can I. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author means the beginner. The source. I'd like to start right there. The author. Jesus, the author. Everybody that is saved this morning in the world, if they're in China, Africa, or Hampton, Virginia, every saved person this morning in the world began with Jesus. They looked to Jesus. No person anywhere is saved today unless they have looked at Jesus. We began with him. Every saved person this morning is continuing with Jesus. If you're still saved, you are continuing. You're still walking. You're still following. You're still holding his hand. You're still going with him. Every saved person began with Jesus and will continue with Jesus. And let me leave this with you. And if we cross the finish line with victory, it'll be because we kept our eyes on him. How many have faltered in favor? How many have given up in the fight and said the battle is too hard and the road is too long I just can't make it. I can't see my way. I can't make it. If you look to Jesus, He'll make the way for you. He's the author. And the final part of that is He's the finisher. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The one that saved me is able to keep me from falling and help me to get across the finish line. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've quoted it many times, but I don't want to miss one part of it, so I'm going to turn to it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Hallelujah. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. Praise God. Praise God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My comfort is over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The part that I want to mention is this. My God is with me now. He was with me when I began. He was with me when I went to the altar. He was there to save me from my sins. He's walked with me. He's kept me. He's blessed me. And He's going to be with me when I cross over to the other side. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the source of our salvation and faith, and the finisher, the one that's going to help us when we come down to the end of the journey. Amen. Look to Jesus. When addressing the Sanhedrin court, Paul said there is none other, Peter said there's none other name in the heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, just the name of Jesus. He's the author of our faith and the finisher. I am going to conclude by reading a verse. Three verses in Luke 21. I'm going to read from verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Isaiah had said to the people to look unto God. Look unto God. Jehoshaphat said, God, we're looking unto You. We don't know what to do. We're looking unto You. The scriptures that I've read now, today, from the Hebrews, have that we're to look unto Jesus. And now when we come down to the end, and I'd like to mention this, and I'm going to close in that 21st chapter. I don't know what you believe about some things. I don't know what you expect to happen in the future and how it's going to happen. I've read the Bible and I have got a picture in my mind of how things are winding down. I thought about that storm that hit last Monday. In a moment's time, millions of lives were changed. Millions. Suffering. You saw it on the news, people crying, I've lost everything. Everything. They were witnessing, ministering, testifying yesterday morning in the men's fellowship how that a lady came back to where her house was and it was gone. And she looked around and found one picture. One picture is all she had. I think it was of her mother's mother or someone. One picture. So many are hurting. And then I want to leave this with you. It's not going to be over in a week or two. They're going to be hurting and hurting and hurting. And now they said there's a northeaster coming that way on the top of it, and snow's coming from the west on the top of it all. It's already hit West Virginia and part of Virginia and some other areas, but I'm talking about New Jersey and New York and Pennsylvania and the rest. I don't know what's going to take place. I don't know the devastation that's going to be there. And then a lot of people have come up with this idea, well, it's all global warming. And I am not here to discuss that today. But the Bible says in the 21st chapter of Luke that the signs of the end sometimes is about the storms and the waves and the clouds and the winds and the rest. God's in control. He's not caught off guard. He's in control. I believe it's another wake-up call for America. It's time to call out to God. It's time to get a hold of God. It's time to be like King Jehoshaphat. God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Thousands, millions a day don't know what to do. No electricity, no water. They said there's no food. FEMA hasn't come yet. We don't have any power. We have nothing. There will be riots. There's already been gangs and what have you, not only looting, but against each other, standing in line 6 hours with a pail to get some gas for a generator. And when you get there, there's no more gas. And people's minds are seemingly almost going wild. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Listen closely. I say to the whole world, whatever happens, look to Jesus. He's the answer. Look unto Him when things are going good, and look unto Him when things are going bad. He's still God. Look unto Jesus. Peter said, there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus. Look and live. Look and live. Look and live. Hallelujah. The chorus went to that song, Look and Live. We're going to sing this morning number 99 in the chorus book. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. As my wife comes to the piano, look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. I close, but I, as we come to pray, I do not know what's going to happen. I don't know if our president is re-elected, what it's going to be like in America. And I don't know if he's not re-elected, what it's going to be like in America. I cannot tell you what's going to happen. But one thing I do know, if you'll serve God, if you look to Him, if you're living for God today, if you keep your eyes on Him. Remember, you started with Him when you get saved. You continue with Him if you're saved, still saved. And if you cross the finish line with victory, it'll be because you stayed with Him all the way. Look to Jesus. Will you stand together with me?